Hey, side two of the interview with Professor Lynn Duran. Can you tell me about any type of programs for women, even medically, like for when you're a single parent or you find out you're pregnant? Do they have anything? And for the single soldiers?
In 1977, they had nothing. You know, our little program consisted of drill sergeants talking to us, saying, don't go here, don't do that, you know, but no program sponsored by the military that I can recall. I don't remember any of those words of guidance from anybody. Nowadays, I'd say quite a few programs. You know, they have, they even deal with single soldiers as far as just being single, not single parents, with what they call the BOSS program, the Better Opportunities for Single Soldiers. Single parents in the military and dual military that have children are required to have family care packets. So if one deploys or the other doesn't, you know, who is that child going to stay with? Who are the children staying with? And I think that most leaders do a real good job on keeping up on those, and that was really tested during the Persian Gulf because you had dual military deployed or single parents deployed, and those packets had to be implemented, and they seemed to have worked. I know there were horror stories of maybe one or two instances, but that was about it. As far as females themselves, I'd say medically we're tracked pretty well, because we get our little readouts that come through the chains of command from the medical facility saying you're due for your women's examination and all that, which I think is good because it's something we need to be ready. It's a ready force we're in, so that means you need to be healthy. Why ignore an aspect of a person? I mean, we're female. There's other things that have to be checked than on a male, so. And I think they do a real good job on that. Plus, we're required to have the physicals just like the males, so they keep up on that. As far as young parents in the military, they have what they call the Army Family Team Building Program now, which is probably one of the best programs. I don't know all that much about it, but what I do know is probably one of the best as far as introducing young spouses, and I'm talking mainly female spouses that are non-military, to what the military is all about, what to expect, who to turn to, what do I do if my child gets sick and I'm off post, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's a real important program. They're not necessarily just for women. I think they're bringing the whole picture together and dealing with every aspect the military has in it. As far as just women, I can't think of any special program they have unless it's religiously affiliated. Because our AIDS test, our DNA, our HIV test is all unisex. The classes they have, they sit right next to each other while somebody stands up there and shows them how to use condoms and that, so they both know. So I think they're pretty much online. I'm bringing it all as far as a mutual understanding of the programs.
What about, I know when I was in the military, we had a briefing whenever we were going on a field exercise. Do they still do those kind of things?
They do, but not necessarily separately. It's part of what they call the POI, which I don't even know what it stands for, except that it's our instructions that we give all our classes and that, the package deal. These classes are given for the class that I have right now, which is one station unit training where they get basic and the MP school all together. The males and females sit in the same class and are taught about field hygiene, what to do in the field, how to take their little cat baths. Now, I know some of the drill sergeants take it upon themselves, and it's normally our female drill sergeant that will do that, go talk to the females about things they can do in addition to what was taught, you know, to keep themselves clean. And it's something that the males are aware of, the male drill sergeants too, because there have been instances where females have gone into toxic shock in the field because they refuse to use the latrine, you know, during certain times. And that sounds really nasty, but it's something that is so preventable. And I think it's because the drill sergeants are more accessible now. It's not something a female wants to go talk to a male drill sergeant about, but with the way they're training now, where they look out there and see people who need to be trained, not necessarily male or female, it makes them more accessible, where years ago that type of leadership was not available. I'm not saying it wasn't there. It's just I wouldn't have felt comfortable going to my male drill sergeant and talking about this.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Did you ever have any incidents or experiences with sexual harassment or sexual overtures towards you or any other female that you knew?
I've heard of it happening in the military. When I was in Alaska as a first sergeant, I had an orderly room clerk who was court-martialed for sexual harassment. So I know it's there. As far as myself, I think the only time I've ever been challenged, and not necessarily sexually, but because gender, was when I was a drill sergeant at Fort Dix, because you're working with all what they call combat arms, your infantry, field artillery, your engineers. These are MOSs, the occupations, that don't have any females in there. So when a female comes to work with them, it's different, it's unique. They're where we were 25 years ago in the MP Corps. And I worked with all combat arms drill sergeants, the only female. And at one time, the only female in the whole battalion, which you're talking five companies. And I felt probably more challenged there than I did at any other time in my whole career. And I've had one other incident where I was told by somebody who outranked me in my chain of command just recently that we should have never put all female leaders over there, because it was myself as the first sergeant, a female commander, and a female executive officer. And I didn't pursue it because I looked at the person who made the comment, and it was said behind closed doors. So I figured if they had the audacity to say that, and if anything ever happened to my career over something stupid like that, I would have the audacity to pursue it. But it, right at that time, it was not threatening to my career. And
do you
I considered
think
the source.
That maybe men that still think that have that, they're afraid of the women taking, you know, we're taking more and more responsibilities and leadership roles, that they're afraid of their own position in the Army?
I don't know as though it's that they're afraid of their position in the Army. I think they just have, it's their makeup that females are subservient. That not necessarily Army related, I'm sure if they go home, you will find the traditional homemaker also, that they have set views and opinions of what they want the women surrounding them to be. And that's not the kind that's competing with them as far as career progression. And I don't know as though it's just military related. I think it's the way they were brought up. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I just don't stand in my way. You know, if I'm on a hunt to do something as far as my job.
Continue on.
I think some of the males might feel threatened by females, because going back to what we said earlier, females are more serious-minded about what they're doing now. We have a goal. We have career pursuits. We have a mission, whether it be civilian or military. And I don't, and this is sexist saying it, but I don't know too many things that can set aside a woman's determination once they decide to do something. And I think there might be some male counterparts out there that do feel threatened, but I can't say it's the female's fault. It's a complex within themselves. I mean, everybody needs confidence. I think we're probably better off in the military right now than we ever were, because it's not necessarily allowed, and we rely on each other too much to let it be a problem.
Do you think that, what type of woman, and everybody always wonders, what type of woman joins the military? Can you, using, you know, yourself as an example and other women that you know, what kind of woman would join the military?
18 to 20 years ago, I would say it was somebody who wanted diversity, challenges, adventure. Because we weren't in time of conflict or anything, it was just a way to get out and do things on your own. Because the civilian market wasn't as marketable for women 18, 20 years ago as it is now. So this was a way to go in and get some skills, get some college, cheap, and 3 years later, you saw a lot of women getting out of the military. Now, 18 to 20 years later, training soldiers coming in right off the bus from being civilians, I would say it has changed some. We get women who are scared, who are running. I can safely say 90% of the biographies that we read, male and female, are from dysfunctional families. They're escaping from something in their past or running from something that is scaring them. I mean, you're talking serious abuse, family-related, outside-related, sexual abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse. We've seen it all. We become like a rehab center for the first 4 to 6 weeks that they're here, trying to deprogram that, hey, okay, it's all behind. And I'd say that's what we're looking at now on male and female. But most of our females that come in here have come from some type of background that's abusive. And one of those three categories, mental, physical, or sexual. This last group that we had were young. They're still high school, so we didn't see too much of that. It's probably what I call the cleanest group as far as problems. But in 18 months of doing this, most of them have come in with historical problems from the past that they're running from, wanting to succeed in something, and this is the only way they can do it, because they can't go in the civilian market. They can't escape. There's no security there. Where there's security?
Do you think women bring a different type of leadership in? Because I know I always, when I would talk to a female person that would outright me, there was always a different feel. Do you think there's a sisterhood, or that women can be cutthroat with each other?
I think there's both. And I think nowadays the most current is, it's more like an undercurrent of sisterhood. You know, I could probably approach a female first sergeant or a female sergeant major, I know I could, and feel more comfortable approaching them because they overcome the same challenges that I have 90% of the time. Where maybe 5-10 years ago it was cutthroat because we were getting competitive. You know, you didn't look left or right and bring your buddy with you. It was you leave your buddy behind. I think they were trying to get a sisterhood, but it was too threatening. You know, there wasn't the bonding 5-10 years ago that there is now. I feel real comfortable with female counterparts. I feel real comfortable with males, sometimes more comfortable with males. It's just always been easier for me to get along with males than females because there is that threatening, you know, that bonds are not formed. But I think in the military, those bonds are formed. I know in 1977, we were a real close group during training. You couldn't touch us. And like I said, 18 years later, I still keep in touch with some of those people.
You said that your husband is black. Do you have to deal with any racism now?
Not from the military. The only time we've ever dealt with racism, I think, was that incident at Fort Ord where they tried to bring us up on charges, and it boiled down to it was a black-white issue, not necessarily a fraternization issue.
What about here, being that we're in the Bible Belt in the South?
No, we've never had a problem, and that was one of our main concerns because my husband has never been in the South before except for his training in Georgia. He's from New York, and he had the thoughts that they still hang people in the South, you know, for being interracially related in that. And he had some real naive tunnel vision views, and people have been fantastic. He's a courier for Federal Express, and he goes and meets people every day. And they've been nothing but, they have Southern hospitality. I'm comfortable down here. Our daughter, who is biracial, has never had a problem down here, never. We get treated real good. And I don't know if it's because we're military, you know, and we're transient, and okay, they'll go away, but I think the military is the melting pot, that they don't allow things to become issues that don't need to be issues.
Now that the lesbian, gay issue is really out in the open and seems to be the thing to be talked about, do you see it as prevalent now as it was? I know back in 1987, it wasn't too hard to find a lesbian in the group. What about now?
Right now, I would say if it's resurfacing, it's resurfacing right now. I can look left and right and tell you who is gay, female, in the military. it's not as aggressive, I don't think, as it was in 1977, because that was the stigmatism of the WAC Corps that was rightfully there. And it was aggressive. I mean, you might walk, when I hit Germany, we had a female lesbian, well, obviously it's a female lesbian, but she would go out in the hallway and just grab you and tell you, I was scared to death of this girl. And, you know, that's how aggressive it was. And then it kind of toned down in the early 80s, mid 80s, but you could still, there's the stereotype that's there in appearance. And even today, with it, I think it's resurfacing because it's become not a norm, but accepted, that the don't ask, don't tell. Okay, you can still be what you want to be behind closed doors. When you walk out, you're still a soldier. And it's here. And you see it right here also.